The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I want to be in the light, as you are in the light. I want to shine like the stars in the heavens.
Welcome to A Passion for Christ, a heart-to-heart conversation with pastors called to build the kingdom of God here in Southern California.
All I want is to be in the light.
Welcome to A Passion for Christ. I'm Donna Rush. Hey, how often do we truly mean to spend quality time with the Lord, but we just let the daily responsibilities just get in the way? Well, my guest has a passion for helping people find what he calls the open spaces in life to truly take in the majesty of Jesus and spend that time with him. Pastor Drew Sams is celebrating his 10th year as lead pastor of Bel Air Church, and he has created what I have found to be a beautiful, tender, and exciting book about those close moments with God and how to create spaces for them. So welcome to Passion for Christ.
Always great to be with you, Donna.
Oh, thank you. Well, the name of your book kind of says a lot about it, and it's called Open Spaces, 10 Prayers of a Pastor. And you've created this book as really a gift to your congregation, right? What led you to do this?
Well, the last number of years have gotten busier and busier and busier for me as a pastor.
I can imagine, yeah.
And while many people had their schedules upended, disrupted over the last number of years, mm-hmm. I found that there was zero margin. I was sleeping less. I was mm-hmm. scheduling more and more. The amount of pastoral follow-up and navigating just difficult things mm. really closed off any open space that I might have normally spent with God. And so I actually had to make a real drastic decision. I either keep going down this grinded out pace and likely burn out, all in the name of the Lord.
Right.
Or I've got to keep the main thing, and I have to realize that I'm only good as a father, as a husband, as a pastor, as a brother, as a son, as a friend, as I am out of the overflow of my relationship with God. And so I started intentionally opening up spaces in my calendar to spend
and
time with the Lord.
I have to say, I read your book, and the calendar starts very early in the morning.
Well, you know, I've historically always been a morning person.
Yes.
So not that that's the only time you can connect with
right.
the Lord.
Right, but this is for you. This
what
is worked
for
me.
You. Yeah, so okay. Well, here's what I need. I needed time to be with the Lord, to be reminded of who God is, who God says I am. Why God has called me to this life, and just to be reminded of my purpose rather than get overwhelmed with the noise and busyness of life. And so I found there's this magical time each day that I get to be uninterrupted with the Lord. It's before emails or texts or phone calls, or my kids are awake or my wife's awake. And so I just started every morning waking up early, getting outside and going to a local trail. Now, at first, this was just to get away from the email, didn't take my phone, you know. But I found something remarkable that happened in the midst of that. All of a sudden, all these passages in Scripture, like the heavens declare the glory of God. And as I'm up on the trail overlooking the LA Basin, seeing that kind of blackish blue pre-dawn light, and as the sky began to get pink, and as I heard the birds, and as I saw rabbits running across the trail, all of a sudden, other passages came to mind. The Psalms say that one day the trees of the forest will clap their hands with joy in the presence of the Lord. And all of a sudden, I felt like I was surrounded by a creation that points to its creator. Wow. And I, in tears sometimes on the trail, pleaded to God, give me wisdom in this whatever thing was coming up. There was this moment, I think it was like in 2020, for the first time in my life, I thought, you know, I'm kind of jealous of a a mailman.
Oh, how so? Like what? I'm a mailman, okay.
You know, so overwhelmed with the pressures of life.
Yeah.
Navigating so many things. And I was doing my dishes, looking out the front window, and I saw the mailman. You know, everybody's got their mailman or mailwoman delivering their mail. And I looked out the window and I saw this person, you know, outside delivering mail. And I thought, oh, no one is pounding down their door wanting an opinion about this or that. Mm. There's no one asking the mailman for a public statement about such and such incident. That mailman, everybody's happy to see them. Because they're delivering their mail, you know? And then I had this moment where the Lord just said, Drew, that's not what I've called you to. Mm. I've called you to be the senior pastor with Beller Church. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, those little moments were just little cracks in the foundation that made me realize, okay, I have to spend more time with the Lord, more time in those open spaces of my calendar, which for me happen to be the open spaces of God's creation. And the work that God did in my heart to heal, to give me courage, to give me humility, to give me hope, to give me wisdom, all of a sudden out on the trail, and it's not about the trail, it's just about being with the Lord.
Yes.
Very difficult decisions, all of a sudden there was a breakthrough. Oh, that's the way forward. Or a very difficult conversation that was about to come up.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a way that I can broach that topic. And I found myself with this deep, deep wisdom that it's from the Lord.
Yeah.
But I couldn't have had that had I closed off my calendar, closed off my heart, closed off my mind, closed off the spaces of my life to the Lord. So I needed to open up those spaces. And with more open spaces, it's opened up more and more. And I hunger for it even more.
Well, now when we're talking about these open spaces, so for you, there are a lot of open spaces in this greater LA area, a lot of very enclosed spaces, but open spaces generally, like for running and just beautiful places, beaches, just things such as that. And I think maybe during the shutdown, during those times, those became even more evident. People just needed those spaces. And though as things though have gone back to normal, I guess we have to be careful about not just getting all back into the daily grind and not opening up time in our lives. And we're talking about open spaces for you with running because you are this incredible long-distance runner, which I did not know about you. But we don't have to be a long-distance runner, though, for these times. So
not at all.
Give us some other – what other suggestions do you have for those who, you know, already get up at 3:45 in the morning?
Well
– but not to run, but to come to the office or whatever it is, you know.
So here's a very practical thing that we can all employ, whether we're morning people, nighttime people, whether we're neither, we sleep in and we go to bed early. Look for very intentional moments throughout your day to open up, just crack the door open to God. Mm-hmm. So let's say you get in your car, you're running an errand, you're going to the grocery store, you're driving to work, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. Before you put the key into the ignition, turn it, open up that space and say, Lord, would you give me your heart, your perspective as I drive? Help me see the other drivers from your point of view. Give me patience. You know how much this has helped me on the 101 freeway and the 405 in Los Angeles?
I'm just thinking, I need to write this down. No,
you know, because all of a sudden, that 10 seconds.
Yes.
Everybody's got 10 seconds.
Yes.
You don't have to wake up at 5 a.m., but that little crack open the door, make an open space, invite God in to be the Lord of your commute, you know, or it could be you're about to pick up the phone and make a hard request, or you're trying to broach a topic with someone you love and you don't know how to navigate it. Right before you pick up the phone, just pause for a moment. It could be 10 seconds. Okay, God, would you give me your wisdom? Help me to listen first. Help me to speak boldly. Help me to speak the truth in love. Speak with humility. Give me your ears to hear where you're already at work. Little things like that. See, I used to think you had to do the big, 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 big open spaces with God. A mission trip, a silent retreat for the weekend, which are all important, significant.
Mm-hmm.
But I found the more frequently I can have just small open spaces, I can begin to link those together throughout the day. So let's say I talked about, you know, getting in the car.
Yes.
Then when you arrive at your location, whatever the location is. Turn off the ignition before you open up the door.
Mm-hmm.
Open up another space for the Lord. Okay, wow. God, as I'm going into work today, I know I have had that problem with that one person.
Yes.
Give me your heart today towards them.
Mm.
Or, you know, I've been so timid in speaking up and contributing to my team. I feel like I don't have much to offer. God, would you help me to feel like I've got value? I'm part of the team. Give me confidence to share a perspective, whatever that might be. You link those throughout the day, then you find all of a sudden your whole life becomes an open space.
Wow. So it's really just taking the moments every time before you take the next step in the day and just really, it's almost like that pray without ceasing.
Exactly. You know, exactly. Yes, it totally is.
That's how you implement that.
It absolutely is. 1 Thessalonians, you know, to pray without ceasing, to give thanks to God continually, be joyful always. How do you do that? Well, it's little, tiny, incremental steps. And it just adds up. It adds up. It adds up. Those little decisions make a huge lasting impact. I found that personally.
Yeah. Well, now in your time of these open spaces, when you were putting this book together, you did it in you did some different chapters, and at the end of each chapter gave a prayer. You wrote out a prayer, which I just love so much because that is, just really sharing your heart on paper for everyone to really read. And so that's why I felt like it was just very vulnerable. It was very open. It's beautiful. And so I just want to talk a little bit about some of the chapters that you have in here. We could just touch on some of those things. You just described the oneness with the Lord, and you compared this to a runner's high. So, but there's different types of runner's high, I guess. And not being a real runner, I guess I don't understand this completely, but I did when I read it about you. So tell me about the runner's high.
All right. So, of course, people have different descriptions of runner's high.
Mine might have been a jazzercise high.
Right. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. So, and here's how I've experienced two different types of runner's high.
Uh-huh.
And what I mean by runner's high, when I run on, the asphalt, the pavement, the concrete, through a neighborhood, on city streets, because there's not a lot of variation of terrain, it's really flat. It's often straight. A runner's high in that setting, in that environment, almost becomes this automatic, my mind becomes disconnected from my physical body, and I'm just moving down the street.
Just in the zone.
Yes, which is very different often than how it starts when I first run. Oh,
okay.
My knee. Oh, my ankle. Oh, I had too much dinner last night. Oh, I don't feel, it's the creaky start, But then something happens, and there's a little bit of a breakthrough. And on the pavement, on the asphalt, there's this disconnection.
Hmm.
However, on the trail, it's completely different.
Okay, how so?
So on the trail, unlike the road, there's variation. Every step can have a rock, can have a rut, can be a twist, a turn. And
kind
so,
of like life.
Kind of like life?
Yeah.
I like how you're a little foreshadow here. And I've found that you cannot for a moment be elsewhere like you can on a straight, flat street.
Mm.
You have to be so present with every step. You have to be so aware of every single step. Otherwise, you're going to trip and fall. If you begin to zone out like you would, let's say, just on a flat street, You'll miss a turn on these single tracks. You'll step into a rut. You'll stub your toe. I've had that before, and I've fallen to the ground.
Yeah.
So I find the runner's high on that unpredictable, varied environment is I have to be absolutely present and almost one with my surroundings. And so with that, it is this hyper-awareness of everything. It's like I zoom in on the details. I don't know how to describe it other than I notice things that I didn't notice before. The little tarantula coming out of its hole at 6 a.m.
Wow.
The dew on the leaves of grass, the birds that fly by. And then with that, I hear my breath. I hear the ground sound beneath my feet. But I get closer and closer to the Lord. And I just feel this intimacy with the Lord. And so I try to take that presence and being present and being aware into the rest of my day. And I realize that as I take that moment that's always with the Lord out on the trail into the rest of my day, I can apply that into the unpredictability of whatever situation I might find myself in.
I love that. All right. Before being lead pastor at Bel Air Church, you were actually a high school pastor. Yes, in fact, at my church, at Calvary Community Church in Westlake Village. And so you have a lot of experience with those teenage years. And so you have a chapter in the book that's really dedicated, I guess, to both parents and teenagers, or parents of teenagers. And in that, can you share with us a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, in this book, which over the 10 chapters are just topics that my mind often goes to. Mm-hmm. Where my heart often goes to, right. And I do. I think it's because I spent so many years as a high school pastor, right, at Calvary Community Church, that my heart and my mind and my very being, you know, just is often thinking about and caring for adolescents today. Mm-hmm. So difficult to navigate, mm-hmm, adolescence.
Really is,
and
yeah.
So many parents are reaching out to me asking for advice. How do we navigate this or that? And it could be related to their friend group. It could be related to things that are being taught at school. It could be, yeah, related to, you know, what they're being exposed to, you know, in media. It can be a never ending. It just, it seems like it's harder than it's ever been. Which, by the way, as a father of a 10-year-old and a 5-year-old,
yes,
you know, I'm not on the other side of this. I'm going into it.
Right.
And so maybe that adds an extra layer.
Yeah.
So I find myself out on the trail praying for parents, for teens. And I just think there's so much confusion right now. And as a foundational thought, I found that the sooner somebody can find their identity in who God says they are in Christ, far beyond what the world says about them, what their friends say about them, what their coach says about them, you know, what they in their inner voice say about themselves. You know, there's a lot of true things about us, but what's the truest thing about you? And ultimately, only God can define that.
Right. I love that. If you are just joining us, you are listening to A Passion for Christ. I'm Donna Rush on 99.5 KKLA. And my guest is Reverend Dr. Drew Sams, who is lead pastor of Bel Air Church. He has written a book, Open Spaces, 10 Prayers of a Pastor. And one thing in the book that really struck me that I read was that the journey ahead is too unexpected and adventurous to be experienced on autopilot. And I thought that that kind of applies to all of us, whether we are entering those teenage years, because we were just talking about that. And I think this was actually written in that book, at what you're talking about with teens, or whether we're going into retirement or anything in between, just to be on autopilot. You never know.
Well, and this phrase autopilot, which, yeah, of course we understand, and what a wonderful technology that,
yeah,
exists for, you know, for
when
pilots,
it works.
Of, yeah, when it works, totally wonderful. Yeah. But, you know, I'm sure many of us, I know I can speak for myself.
Mm-hmm.
There are days that go by, weeks, months, years, where I look back and I think, wow, how did that just fly by?
Yeah.
And there's whole blocks of time that I can't remember. And yeah, I find that when I get into so much of a routine that the autopilotness of that routine,
mm-hmm,
causes me to not actually be present, nor does it cause me to actually have any memories. So I don't know if you've ever had this, but,
oh, yeah,
have you ever commuted somewhere so frequently that all of a sudden
you're there,
you go,
wow,
and
I don't remember.
Like,
yes,
this is so terrifying. So how did
it really is.
I just drove for 30 minutes and I have no memory of that commute because,
yes,
I'm just,
yes,
and I wonder if we go through relationships, parenting, our work that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be able to carve out time throughout the day opens up a very dangerous reality. Because when Jesus says, I want you to follow after me, that is a call out of our comfort zone,
yeah,
away from safety, the adventure of a lifetime.
Yeah.
Follow wherever he wants to lead. That is not routine. That is
right.
Unexpected. And that will cause you to run into situations that you never would have dreamed of. And yet, those are the moments where you have a front row seat to God at work.
Wow.
That's the memory that sticks.
Yeah. Maybe I'm going to have better memory now as I keep this in.
There you go.
As I keep this in mind.
All of us.
All right. Yes, indeed. You know, and there was a, okay, so in applying all of this that we've talked about now, creating these just open spaces really throughout our day before we each take each step that we're about to enter into. Let's take this in this chapter in your book. It's called Loving Our Neighbors. Now, we're called to love our neighbor as ourselves. And I think the big question that you take on is how the church can do this, how the church can be inclusive, but not how pop culture defines it.
This is so important because there is very clearly in the gospel accounts and really all throughout all of scripture that what God is after is all of humanity. And God longs for all of humanity to come to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And yet Jesus also says, no one can come to the Father except through me, which is very exclusive.
Yeah.
So you have this welcoming, embracing God who also says, I'm calling you to die to yourself so that you may truly live, which is very different than I think how pop culture today says to include and to welcome and to come as you are. One of my favorite passages on this is the parable of the great banquet. And it's in Matthew 22 and Luke 14. And the short of the story is everyone eventually gets invited to this banquet.
Right.
It's a description of the kingdom of God. And the king is throwing a royal wedding for his son. And everybody gets invited. However, to enter into that banquet, you have to wear the robe provided by the king. And there's one person who's there and in the party who's wearing their own clothes. Which you might think, what is this about? What? That's a weird little note. But there's something so significant. We might understand, you know, kind of in our modern culture, if you're in a wedding and you're part of the bridal party.
Sure.
You know, you wear what the bride wants you to wear.
Right.
Right.
And you don't wear white if she doesn't want you
exactly.
to wear
white. Exactly. So we kind of get that, you know, in our culture. First century, all the guests would be provided with a robe, especially at a royal robe.
Okay.
At a royal wedding. So to really connect this very quickly to in Christ, we are clothed with Christ's righteousness and we're invited to come as we are, but we don't stay as we are. And there's something about our self-righteousness that needs to be covered over and our unrighteousness that needs to be covered over. And it's the grace and the mercy and the justice because Christ paid it all on the cross.
He sure did.
You know, he who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. So this sense of welcoming all people, and we are all coming to the Lord, dying to ourselves and saying, Jesus, you are our Lord. Transform us how you may.
That is just so beautiful. So thank you for just, you know, really explaining that from, you know, a biblical point of view on how we really welcome all. Gratitude. Let's talk a little bit about gratitude. We're coming to an end here. I can't believe it. But Paul in 1 Thessalonians, he says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus. You know, that's great when we're having a great old day. It's really easy to do that, isn't it? But when things unfathomable happen to us, how can we handle that with giving thanks in circumstances such as that?
You know? Yeah. You know, this is where the practice of getting out into these open spaces in a very practical way helped me understand what Paul was talking about. And there were days that I would show up on the trail, did not feel like it, wanted to sleep in. Certain days, I couldn't wait to get out there. So the whole spectrum, right?
Yes.
I just kept showing up. And as I kept showing up, God did miraculous, transformative things. So I found that continuing to show up by giving thanks in advance and saying, God, you know, I'm going to show up to this moment, and it's not what I would have chosen, but I'm going to thank you in advance because somehow you're going to meet me in the midst of it, and you're going to show me something that I had no idea. Because God is bigger than all the circumstances. Yeah. He's not dependent upon the circumstances. So it's kind of like thanking God in advance for what God's going to do. And it shows you that God is God because God can do it in any circumstance.
Oh, and that's just a great way to end there. Thank you so very much for being here on A Passion for Christ.
Absolute joy. God bless you and all.
Thank you. This has been A Passion for Christ. I'm Donna Rush. My guest is Reverend Dr. Drew Sams. He's lead pastor of Bel Air Church. And to find out more about Bel Air Church, their ministries, their service times, you can go to belair.org. And Pastor Sams' book is Open Spaces, 10 Prayers of a Pastor. And he is so graciously offering the opportunity to get a digital download of this book. Just go to belair.org/openspaces for a digital download, or you can also stop by the church there at Bel Air Church and get a hard copy of that. You've been listening to A Passion for Christ. Thank you for being here. I'm Donna Rush.
You've been listening to A Passion for Christ, sponsored by 99.5 KKLA. Tune in again next week at this same time for another intimate glimpse at what God is stirring in the hearts of Southern California's pastors, here on A Passion for Christ.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.